Hi, Kevin. We're good to go.
Okay.
Oh, you're coming in a little bit quiet.
All right. That's weird. Your audio changed as well. So.
Okay, I can hear you fine now.
Okay.
Great. All right, well, let's start with your year of graduation, including if that was spring, summer, fall, and your major or majors.
Okay, I graduated May 2014, and I was a music production engineering major and a music business major.
Very cool. Do you recall which track you did in music business?
I did the management track.
Very cool. And what was your principal instrument?
Guitar player.
Got it. I mean, of course, they all say MP&E. It's the soundboard, right? But
yeah. No, I was still a guitar player at the time.
All right, great. Well, hey, we will get to your history later. But for now, tell us about your current job. What do you do? Where do you do it?
Okay, so I'm a software engineer in Charlotte, North Carolina. I work at a company called Red Ventures. It's based out of Fort Mill, South Carolina area. And, yeah.
Are you then in a branch office in Charlotte?
No, the headquarters are in South Carolina. I commute from Charlotte. It's like an hour commute.
Got it. And you said the company's based in where in South Carolina?
Fort Mill area, Indian Land to be exact.
All right, cool. And let's see, about how big is the company? Let's sort of talk about the company first, and then we'll get
to that. It's pretty big. We have, you know, we probably about like 2,000 full-time employees doing like sales support.
And about how many of those are in this Fort Mill?
That many, yeah. 2,000.
Oh, so it's pretty much all in the one office.
Yeah, there's one big office, and then there's a sales office in North Charlotte, and then there's a few like scattered areas throughout the world. You know, they have like a UK, they're opening a UK office, we have a Brazil office, and we have some other ones on the West Coast, but they're very small. So the headquarters are in Charlotte area.
Got it. And what does the company do? What's the product?
So they're a kind of marketing company building. They help other companies sell their products. So we build a lot of software to either help other companies sell their products or, you know, build their brand, kind of like that.
Are you talking like building websites or what?
Yeah, so a company will come to us and we'll build a website for them. But it's on a huge, huge scale. Like big customers, like a lot of telecommunications, a lot of healthcare, a lot of energy companies. You know, some of the biggest companies that are in this area.
Great. Yeah. And do you build, so does your company sell products other than websites that help?
No, we kind of give them the full digital ad tracking, you know, website management, content management experience. But we don't do anything else as far as, like, we don't have any other products that we sell on our own or anything.
Got it. No, I get that a website can be at the high level. It's a very robust organism.
Right.
Got it. No, that makes a lot of sense. And so you said you're a software engineer?
Yes. So I'm a back-end, mostly back-end engineer. I do a little bit front-end, like styling and, you know, functionality on the front-end, but it's mostly back-end, like building databases and APIs and stuff like that.
No, when you say databases, and I'm sorry, what does API stand for?
It's like a programming interface. So basically it controls between like the client and the server. So basically it allows you to communicate the data from the back end to the front end to show.
Sure. And when you're building these tools, then you're building the tools for the clients.
Right.
Got it. Because I've seen people where it may even be a software company, but I've spoke with people who build internal tools.
Yeah.
But it's so, like, yeah.
So we have a few internal tools that will that we'll use for our websites. Like right now I work on the like chat application that like, you know, if you go on a site where they have like a little chat window at the bottom right, that's something that we build. So we will build that.
Got it.
But yeah, we, you know, we do, we build the chat app. We have some sort of, we do a lot of like same interfaces, you know, reusable stuff that we can kind of use across a lot of businesses.
That makes a lot of sense. Why reinvent the wheel each time?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And, so I assume you're probably on some team.
Yeah. Yeah. We, I'm on a team of about, like a pretty decently sized team. I think there's about 20 of us total.
And of those, how many are engineers?
There are about 6 or 7 engineers on my team.
And then product designers, quality engineers.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a product team, design team, quality assurance, kind of the whole thing.
So what is a, what's the official name, or if you wish, like area of, or domain, if you wish, if, of your team?
We're a like a product team. So we're for Red Ventures. Like we help build their products.
Got it. And you know, of those 2,000 employees that Red Ventures have, how many would you estimate are software engineers?
So there's about, I think on the tech side, there's about, it's hard to, like, it keeps growing, it keeps changing, but last time I checked, I think there was like 200 or 300
on the tech side. Okay, so a decent size.
Yeah, it's definitely growing, but right now there's you know, of that, there's like architectural engineers, there's developers, there's, you know, systems engineers, kind of like all different ranges.
Sure. Sure, got it. And let's see. Hey, waterfall or agile?
We have an agile flow. So yeah, we're pretty. It's a pretty like heavy sprint kind of agile company. I think it gets. It's gotten a lot more. You know, not strict, but like tighter. Past couple of years, which is nice.
Sure. And agile, typically when I hear agile, I hear like about a 2-week cycle.
Yeah, we do 2-week cycle currently.
So can you take us from your point of view, what's a 2-week development cycle look like?
So 2-week is starts out, you know, first day of the sprint is you kind of plan out any tasks that you'll be working on, if there's any kind of new features we're going to add, if there's any kind of stuff we need to rework on, we'll spend a couple of days planning out, and then we'll prioritize all the tasks and then kind of split them up among the team. And then, you know, it's about probably, I don't know, 8 to 10 days of working on those things. And then we release at the end of the sprint. We release like a new, not a version, but like new code to our app.
Got it.
So it's pretty like structured, you know. We have like a release every sprint cycle.
How much, I'm curious, like how much are you on your own versus how much do you work with other engineers versus how much is there like an iterative back and forth with the quality people?
Right. I would say it's probably like 50-50 on my own or working with other people. There's a lot of planning with other engineers. We like to talk things out, you know, like to plan what we're going to do before we just start coding. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll work with design teams or my product teams to kind of, if there's any other direction that they want to go in, you know, if they have any things that they want to make sure we cover. But, and then after that, it's, you know, we'll do a rough, not like a rough pass, but we'll do like a first pass of the code and then have other engineers review it and see if there's any changes. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Just go through that cycle again. Gotcha.
By the way, that might be a stupid question, but what's your official job title?
It's a software engineer.
Gotcha. Sometimes it's, you know, people have been like, officially I'm a software engineer level 3. Or
well, it's I'm an associate software engineer, so... That's I guess it's
I'm
like...
an associate professor. Of course, in academia, it starts at assistant, then associate, then full. How does associate work for engineers?
It's kind of like that. There's like a junior, and then there's associate, and then there's like a mid-level.
Gotcha. So you're like one up from the start. Yeah.
Which is, for me, it's, I mean, that's kind of where I want to be right now. So.
Hey, for what it's worth, I'm a hell of a lot older than you, so.
I think it's on a different scale, so I think you're doing great.
Great. I'm sure it varies, but about how many hours a week do you work?
It could go anywhere from like 40 to like, I generally don't work more than 50 hours, I don't think.
Understood.
And I rarely work like under 40. So it's kind of around 40 to 50.
Sure.
So far, I'm sure there's a lot of people. It depends on the team, you know, but I definitely see people working a lot. I think on the engineering side, it's more of like a 40 to 55 hour work week.
Right. I imagine it's like there's certain stuff you have to get done at the deadline, right? And if it's not done, you work a little longer. In the ideal world, you get it done.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's like you just need to get everything done.
Makes sense. And let's see, I think you've talked about how, you work with other people and the product people. Like, do you have a boss who essentially tells you what you're doing, or how does work get divided up that way?
Yeah, it's like any kind of corporate style company. I mean, it's I have a manager, and he has a manager, and they're all engineer type people. So we're split up. I'm split up probably on like a team of about seven, as far as like who my manager covers, you know. Mm-hmm. And he makes sure we're going down the right path. But other than that, I mean, he's not like micromanaging or anything.
It sounds like once you figure out what you're doing, they leave you alone and expect you to get it done.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. So, one of the criteria that you have to hit in order to qualify for this interview is that you enjoy what you do. So I'd love to hear, what is it about being a software engineer, or if you wish a back-end software engineer, that you enjoy?
That's a tough one, because it's almost to me like, I don't want to say I replaced music with it, because I still play music all the time, and I'm, you know, that's what I'm doing outside work.
That's awesome. We'll talk more about that in a little bit.
It almost has that kind of same feeling to me, I guess. It's like I get just kind of, it's easy to get lost, and it's easy to just kind of like code for 3-4 hours and not really care about anything else. So it's, which is, you know, it's great. But it's also like makes me want to work more.
So, in other words, you find that you're attracted to that. Do you know what? It might be hard to qualify, but you know, what is it about programming that makes you think makes you able to just lose yourself in the task?
Oh, I don't know. I was always kind of like into computers growing up, and I was, you know, I was always like kind of into math and science. So I think I just kind of have that like really logical, like, problem solving mind. So I think it's just, there's always some sort of problem to solve. There's always something to build. There's always some way to make something better. That's kind of like how I operate. So I think it's just natural for me.
Sure, very fair. All right, well, hey, let's take it back to 2014, although it sounds, based on what you said, like your story may have an earlier logical start point, in which case let's go back to then, because I'm sort of curious, like, as you were finishing up Berkeley, I mean, were you thinking, you're like, yeah, software engineer, or like, you know, if not, put us in your headspace, and then we'll take it one step at a time from there to where you are now. But again, if your coding has some stuff that dates to before 2014, let's share that too.
Honestly, it doesn't. I remember my last semester just kind of being like really scared. And I was in a lot of NP&E classes, And I remember it being like some of the techie classes, some of the electronics classes, and just really loving those classes. And I decided that I wanted to go back to school again after Berkeley for some reason. And I graduated and went back home for the summer and decided like my next move was to go.
Can I ask, where's home for you?
Oh, home is Charlotte.
So
I came right back to Charlotte. So yeah.
Sure. So you went back to Charlotte and you said that while you were still at Berkeley, you decided you wanted to go back to school.
Yeah, I guess I just kind of wanted, I wanted to get my master's degree in something, and I didn't, you know, I wanted to either do like some kind of MBA or something music related. I was really into music tech at the time, so that's kind of where I was headed at. And I thought for myself that I wanted to be more of like a electronics engineer, you know, because I just thought of like working on music hardware and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where my head was at.
And you figured just there'd be more opportunities if you had a master's degree?
Yeah, and then I realized it was harder to get a master's degree than I thought. Like, it was just, you know, I'd have to do some prereq classes, you know, finish up some of that, like...
For engineering,
Yeah, like some of that undergrad stuff, and I just wasn't... Not only was I not in the financial state, I just wasn't in the right, like... mindset of doing more school for another 4 years.
Okay, so then what? So then you graduate, and like, what's the plan then?
So it was the summer, and I was still kind of in that mode. I was taking. I decided to do some summer classes. So at a community college, I took
in North Carolina.
Yeah, I was gonna try the whole engineering thing undergrad. I got like some of the prereqs. I did like physics, calculus, all that stuff. Sure. I was doing that for like two semesters, and then by the end of 2014, I just ended up getting a job out of the company, and I decided I'd rather just have a job now instead of doing more school. So
first question is, what company, what job?
I got a job at Mood Media, which was, they used to be called Muzak, and they did a lot of elevator music, and they were like big provider for in-store music.
Okay,
If you went like a restaurant or a grocery store and heard that music playing, like chances are they were the people providing it. Okay. So they handled like all the licensing and all the, you know, digitizing of the music and everything.
Well, sounds very much like a music business job. What was your specific role there?
So I was like it was kind of like a cross between like an audio engineer and a like assistant, you know, kind of like a music manager almost. Like I listened to a lot of music and like managed some of the programs that they had, like make sure they had good audio quality and like that the lyrics would be acceptable and stuff like that. And I did that for a couple of years.
And all right, what other question is, you had passive voice, and then this job happened or something. Like, how did you actually get this job?
I'm trying to remember. I think like probably November 2014, I started just being on Indeed like 24/7, looking for anything. I saw this was like the only music related thing I was like seeing. So I just applied really quickly and got like a call. I remember getting a call maybe like 2 or 3 days later, so I was pretty stoked.
That's good.
Yeah. But before that, I mean, I was like teaching lessons, you know, just trying to find clients locally.
Yeah, that's like a side thing typically.
Yeah, and then I was just, you know, it was just to kind of make a little bit of money while I was in school. Mm-hmm.
So were you continuing with school then, or once you got this job, did you stop?
Once I got this job, I just stopped. So, yeah, I took my last final, and then I was started the job like 2 days later. So
gotcha.
I was pretty excited at the time. I remember being really happy.
I don't ask people about their current pay, but just sort of general, like were you being paid decently at this thing, or was it a...
It was entry level.
Entry level, yeah.
Yeah, so it was something you kind of expect to get paid after graduating with just a bachelor's degree.
Sure.
So that no, it wasn't. I didn't have to intern anything, which was nice. I kind of went right to full time.
Yeah, that is cool. So then, as you say, you did that for a couple years?
Yeah, I worked there for about 2 years. And then a year after, about a year and a half after working there, I moved into a different role, which was a design engineer.
Was this basically just a promotion or like slot opened
Yeah,
up? Yeah.
it was like a, yeah, I saw it open up. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. So it was, they put like audio speakers in the buildings and everything. They do the whole design for the company. So like my job was to design, like speaker layouts, wiring diagrams, stuff like that. So I was pretty, that's kind
Well,
of
I
what I
mean,
was.
this sounds like a perfect job for an MPE grad.
Yeah, I was like really into it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a really good time. And then, yeah, I did that for like, I think like 9 months.
Was that a lot of travel then, or were you just able to?
No.
Okay.
So my job was all the computer stuff. So we worked in AutoCAD. So we'd like get the layouts from the architect and we'd, figure out best speaker placement, best like wiring layout, stuff like that. It was good because it was a decent amount of math, a decent amount of, thinking, which was for me great because I get bored really easily. So if, yeah, if I'm doing the same thing every day, I just kind of start to check out.
Sure. So, with it, this sounds pretty good, and it sounds like we're taking it through 2016.
Yep.
Of course, if you
This
were still there, you and I wouldn't be having this conversation right
is
now.
right.
So, what changes?
Around, I think it was like beginning of 2015, I just somehow ended up.
Wait, 15? Because you
Yeah,
got this
yeah.
job in late 14.
Well, I got this job in December 2014, and then January 2015 is like kind of when I decided I was going to start coding.
Okay.
So I so while I was working at Mood, I was just like doing extra classes online, not like through university or anything, just kind of like, I don't know if you're familiar with like Coursera or like
Yeah,
Udemy.
Coursera is like with lots of free stuff, right?
Yeah, so I utilized all of those.
Yeah, I've
They
heard
had
that
like,
there's a lot of specific ones like Code Academy and Udacity and
I just took advantage of anything I found online, like Code Academy. I just, I had a lot of free time because I was working and not really doing much afterwards. So I was either coding or playing guitar.
That's great. Hey, can I ask like what I mean, obviously it worked out, but I can imagine people starting to teach themselves coding for many different reasons, right? Like some people it might be that they say, "Hey, I'm going to change my career to do this." Others might just be, "Hey, it's fun," or "Hey, let's see where this goes." Like, what made you think decide to do that?
Yeah, I get asked this question a lot, and I can't think of the best answer. I don't know why, but it's like something that just happened. Like I just, I like made a Code Academy account for. I think someone was telling me about like Code Academy, and I had no idea like what was even going on. Like I think they were just trying to show me what they were working on, and I was like, well, that's really cool. And I made an account, and then I kind of just never stopped. But I think at the time in my head, I was thinking like, oh, I'm like a musician. I want to make my own website. I like learn some HTML and CSS. Make a profile. I was trying to be like an engineer, like an audio engineer. I wanted like a good online presence. And I think that's kind of where my head was at.
Sure, and
But then
then
it kind
you
of
just
just
kept
turned
going.
into. Yeah, it kind of just turned into like, okay, I actually like this now, so I'm doing this.
Very cool. So that most of this time then that you're working at this job, you're taking more and more of these free classes.
Yeah, any free time I had, like if I was on lunch break, I would do like an hour of coding.
Wow.
After work, I would like go to Starbucks for like 2 hours and just like, I don't know, kind of like not do anything other than coding. It was kind of weird, but I think everyone in my family was like really worried about me, but I think it worked out.
Just curious, is your family, do you have computer programmers in your family or?
No, I mean we have like some, pretty smart people. I think my parents are like smart, but like there's no one's like really into coding or anything. It's just something I have an uncle who he's a data scientist, so he kind of got me into that direction. He did a lot of like the same, learn yourself, and then he got a job. So that was kind of like, I was like pretty impressed by that, I guess. And I figured it would, worst thing that happens is I just know some extra thing. So
Hey, I could think of a lot of hobbies that have a much smaller chance of turning into something. So
yeah.
good for you. So here we are then, about 2 years later. What happens?
So I was working at Mood, and then I was doing the whole like audio system design, and I was at the time I was commuting like an hour and a half each way, and it was just I was getting super burnt out, and I just decided like I wanted a job where I could work from home if I had to, or like a job that I could work remote if I had to, and I just kind of decided I think computer science was like the best way to go with that route.
Yeah, 3 hours behind the wheel, that's brutal. And I'm amazed that you were able to do like anything on top of your work and your commute. So what?
Yeah, even I was like trying to work out still, trying to stay healthy, trying to do all
Yeah.
that. So yeah, it was a struggle for a little bit, but I think it was at least something I was enjoying doing, like the whole coding and everything.
So you figured, I think if I heard you right, just that you could hopefully get a job closer to home if you did more of the tech thing. And you felt that your skills were up to snuff now.
And then, at the time I was living with my parents still, so it was like I was like I need to get a job where I can afford to move out. And then so I was looking for like any coding job I could find. It was really challenging because it's like I don't have a degree in computer science. I don't, people look at music degrees and they're like, I just imagine some people don't really look at it the same way as like someone who graduated from Berkeley would look at it. And I just kind of had to rough it out, applied to a lot of jobs.
So this was again just going on Indeed and firing out lots of applications.
Yeah, Indeed's been something that's like really close to me. It's like I've used it for a lot of my career since leaving Berkeley.
Sure. And if I'm hearing it right, it sounds like you were still working while you were applying to jobs.
Yeah, for sure. It was kind of like something I didn't really stop doing for a year. I just kind of was always applying. Anytime I saw like a junior level coding position or like a, like not needs no experience or something, I was like kind of jumping on that. But then I kind of realized, it's a big market, and in Charlotte in particular, there wasn't a lot of engineers, and there was just a huge demand for, like development. So that's kind of why I was like sticking it out for so long, is because I figured, there's definitely someone that's going to be willing to teach, someone who's passionate.
Sure. So about how long did it take you from when you first started applying to when you got?
I started really heavily applying for like coding jobs in 2000, like middle 2016. That's kind of when I felt like, okay, I could probably code full time. And then I got a job at my current company. I applied there in November, and I got the job in December. But it was kind of like, it wasn't like an entry level, but it was like a little bit above entry level coding job. So they were looking for someone to kind of like who knew coding but was also like willing to learn, So I kind of jumped on that
I think
opportunity.
I saw on LinkedIn, did it say your first job was as like a quality engineer?
Yeah, QA engineer. Yep.
Got
So
it.
it was like a hybrid of like development slash business slash, So I was like, I wasn't actually developing anything, but I was coding.
Oh, because I know that QA engineers sometimes are like, automating test processes and writing scripts and things like that.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So I did like automated scripts for all the websites to test the websites.
Got it. So then you were working there. What was your title there? Junior engineer?
No, it was just QA engineer.
Okay.
So yeah, I was. That's I'm still at the same company, and then while I was there, I was just kind of like I met a lot of friends that were developers, so I just we've been really close, and we would build stuff together, and I got they helped me get like really good. So And then I ended up moving into a full-time like engineering role.
Yeah, how did that move into the regular engineering happen? Did
it wasn't easy. I just made a lot of like really close connections with a lot of engineers and recruiters at the company.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just kind of worked my butt off. Like, I was still doing the whole, like, after-work coding, taking some, like, Udemy classes, stuff like that. You know, just really learning everything I needed to. At least I knew what I needed to know because I saw what the engineers were using.
Uh-huh.
So it was, like, made it a little easier. Kind of have, like, a light at the end of the tunnel.
Sure. And then, just a position opened up, and had you convinced enough people that you were able to do it that they just gave you the job, or did you have to officially apply for? Okay.
No. Yeah, I just, you know, it was a really good company for kind of like personal growth. You know, they ask kind of where you want to go. That's kind of why I like working here because I just feel like my last company was like a very, you know, like not that they try to hold you back, but it was like you didn't want to like come out that you were trying to do something else. That's what it almost felt like. And then here it's like, it's just like, hey, if you want to be something else, you should tell someone, you know, because you can either work to get there or figure out how to get there, which is really nice.
Gotcha. So as you said, you wanted to do coding, you worked your butt off, they were, you know, convinced that you could do it. And at some point they're just like, hey, you want a position? You're like, sure.
Yeah. Well, not like that. It was more like, hey, you know, like, here's, you know, in 6 months, we'll see how you do for 6 months and, like, come to us in 6 months and see, like, if you're still interested, you know, if we'll see what your progress is like. We'll see what your manager thinks, stuff like that.
Gotcha.
And, you know, I was really close to my manager, and he just saw that I was not to say I was getting too good, but I was, like, ready to move on, you know.
And can I ask, when you moved from quality engineer to software engineer, was that like a substantial raise / promotion, or is it lateral?
It was a substantial promotion.
Very cool. And you've been doing that, what, you moved in early this year?
Yeah, I moved February.
Awesome. Here you are.
Yeah, so that's kind of, it's funny because this is like, I remember like 2 years ago, I just had a goal of become a software developer, and I reached that goal the exact time I said it, like that I said I wanted to set it. So it was really cool feeling.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And then I didn't really make any goals after that, so I guess I got to go back and do that right now. I kind of reached like where I wanted to be. So
right. Hey, that's okay. Sometimes you could always have a goal where you're like, okay, I'm at where I want to be in a career. Maybe there's some other goal that's not job related at all. That's your next thing.
Yep.
It's like, I want to buy a house.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where I'm at right now.
All right. So you alluded to this already a bit, but my next question for you is, let's say these days, like, you know, let's say 2018, what's your current relationship with music?
Actually, I'm sitting in my office right now, which is like, it's kind of sickening, but I'm just surrounded by music gear. I think it's gotten a little out of control since I graduated. Like, my music, I'm really into music still. And I guess I just wanted like a career that would allow me to live the lifestyle of someone who has a lot of gear, which is kind of gross to think about, but. I'm still, you know, I play every day. I have a band. I'm still like into recording. It's kind of tough when you're living in an apartment, but I try to make my own music still. I try to do anything I can.
That's awesome. How often do you play out with your band?
We play, it's kind of like, I would say at least once a month, but like sometimes we'll have a gig every weekend, or, you know, twice a week or something like that. But I think generally it's like once a month.
Gotcha. And can I ask, how much is a typical gig pay? And sometimes bands play for $25 and sometimes it's...
Yeah, it's kind of like to the point where I just expect to make no money. And then
sure.
Whatever they give me is awesome. But I think it averages about like, I think I end up taking home anywhere from like 5,200, or like if it's like, it depends on the gig. I feel like if we do like acoustic stuff, people eat that up and, you know, you get paid a little bit more.
Interesting.
But if we do like a full band, I think it's more like they feel like they're doing us a favor for some reason. So they pay less. And then if we play like a wedding or, you know, like some event, you know, they pay a lot more.
Yeah, but they do.
That makes sense. So.
Right, so you do a few of those.
Yeah. A friend and I, we try to get like some weddings or like corporate events or something.
That's cool.
It's nice to have. It's a good outlet, I think.
Sure. So it's like you gig a couple times a month.
Yeah.
On average. Very nice. All right. So, and by what genre of music does your band do?
It's like folk rock, kind of a little more heavier than folk rock, but it's not like.
Sure. Are rock. You?
I don't know. it's kind of just like standard folk rock.
What's its name?
So I play for a songwriter. His name is Dane Page. So it's like, it's like his band, but we all play like together. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, nice.
So
all right.
Like he writes all the songs, but like we'll play, we'll help add to them and everything.
Of course. Cool. So next question I have for you is, you're actually not, you know, pretty far from my first software engineer. There's not a surprisingly high number of Berkeley folks going to tech.
Yeah.
But all that said. Music grads are a pretty small minority of software engineers.
Right.
So I guess relative to if you'd gone to some other school, studied something else, is there anything you feel your Berkeley experience did particularly well to prepare you for what you're doing now?
I think about this a lot, actually. I feel like I always think about, like, okay, what if I went back to school? What if I was, like, I went to school for computer science, or what if I went to school for, like, chemistry or something. That's kind of like where I was at after in high school. I was thinking about going to school for some kind of science, like biology or chemistry. But then I think about it, I think I made the right move. I feel like Berkeley was just like a tough school in general. And then on top of it, I was doing two majors, and that was just, it's not that I burnt myself out, but I was always busy. And I think it turned me into like a really good worker and a really good learner. So I think I utilized like a lot of those skills, a lot of those like entrepreneurial skills that I think they were going for when they were designed to make the curriculum. And I think it's just like, I don't know if I've always had this, or if Berkeley gave it to me, but I think I've gotten really into just learning. And I think maybe it's because of music or something. And I'm just, you know, I'm self-taught, so I don't know if that's a thing, like, helpful as well. I don't know.
Like learning how to teach stuff. Yeah, because with music, you sit down and you got to learn your piece.
Yeah, I think it's just, like, it gives us, like, a more disciplined, like, lifestyle. And I think that makes building a career a little easier, or if not easier, like, more maintainable.
Sure. That makes a lot of sense. All right. You're done with that answer. Just checking.
Yeah.
Perfect. Cool. Because let's turn that question around now. Because, again, you came out of Berkeley, got a pretty good music job, and then found this other passion and pretty quickly made that happen, too. So, you know, you've done very well for yourself.
Right.
And as you say, you're glad you went to Berkeley. But all that's, you know, and also you went to Berkeley knowing that Berkeley gives that one degree, a Bachelor of Music.
Right.
But, like, all that said, when you look back at your Berkeley education, is there anything where you say, you know, hey, it would have been really useful to have learned this while I was at Berkeley, and they could have taught it to me, and they didn't?
Right.
Anything missing or incomplete?
I almost feel like there should be some sort of tech computer science degree. Not degree, but, like, major at Berkeley. I just think back a lot, and I think like music and computer science is so, I just feel like they're so almost the same. I feel like they could make some really cool major out of that. I think, I know EP&D is pretty similar to that, but I think even more of like a computer science with like a music focus would be awesome.
Sure. Very fair.
I just feel like you said, like so many people that graduate Berkeley or with music, they end up somehow in a tech department.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a, I don't know, there's just definitely some correlation with that.
Yeah. All right. Very cool. So next question for you is, again, you pretty quickly, right, got a good music degree, then less than a year after graduating sort of figured, yeah, you, right, even if grad school wasn't in the cards, you wanted to learn, keep learning this stuff, and you got on this path that ultimately led you to this job you're on.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you didn't fully realize you were on that path at the beginning, but pretty quickly it was clear where you were headed.
Right.
Let's say there's a lot of other recent Berkeley grads who maybe haven't found that path yet, and other people who, like yourself, were in their last year staring out into the big scary world and being like, oh my God, what comes next?
Right.
So for either of those groups, what advice do you have?
I would say like take it slow. Just don't, you know, don't. I think one of my big problems out of school was like I was like, oh, what if I do this? What if I do this? Oh, I could try this. You know, I was thinking about so many different career paths that I was just kind of like, I need to focus on something I'm really good at.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important because also something that you want to do. Like I was almost at the point where I was going to take any job. You know, I was like, I'll do anything at this point. But definitely, I'm happy I didn't do that. You know, I'm happy I kind of just roughed it out for a bit and thought about what I wanted, really wanted. And I would also say, like, save up as much money as possible while you're in school. I know some people don't have student loans, but I was one of the many burdened by them. So I don't know if that's my biggest motivation for working so hard, but, you know, I would just say be really smart with money.
Sure. You're not the first person to say that or to mention student loans.
Yeah. And then I would also say, like, don't be afraid to say no. And I would 2 years ago, I would have said, like, don't ever say no. But now I'm saying, like, pick things that you want to do that you really are going to do and finish and, like, really make them good. And don't just do a bunch of things because you want to get, like, a portfolio and then just them all never get done and stuff like that, you know? I learned that, I think, early on.
Sure, sure, very fair. And now let's zoom in a little bit, because while you're not my first software engineer or my fifth, you're still, you know, it's the number of people who are software engineers who has on the website. I don't know if you've looked at it. It's, you know, 10% or under 10%.
Okay.
So, and I feel like you're my 146th interview, maybe.
Okay.
I don't think anyone's listening to all 146. But, right, so people who are listening to this and made it this far are probably folks who are thinking, for one reason or the other, that, hey, maybe this software engineer is a good career, right? It involves learning new stuff, but you don't necessarily have to do a formal multi-year degree program.
Mm-hmm.
It pays relatively well. There's often, you know, a certain freedom where, as you say, you could, there, you know, many software jobs, there's flexibility in terms of when and where you work.
Right.
And by the way, do you work from home sometimes?
Not very much, but I think eventually down the road of my career, I would either like to do some sort of remote work or, I mean, I could, or, you know, work a job where I could have the opportunity to work. I think they would let us, you know, from time to time, but it's also a company where a lot of the work benefits from being with, you know, other employees throughout the day.
Gotcha. That makes sense. All right. So my point is that you're in a good career and a career that has a, you know, pretty decent amount of stuff to recommend it.
Right.
So for people who maybe they've had an affinity for computers. They tried a little thing. It's kind of fun. And, you know, anyone who's like, yeah, like, how do I get in on this software engineering stuff? What specific advice do you have for them?
I would definitely start with, like, any of the online resources if they were into, you know, it depends. If you're, like, someone who can just teach yourself and, you know, just you don't really need someone to motivate you, then I would say definitely any online resource like Udemy, Codecademy, Coursera, any of those are a great place.
Sure.
And then, you know, just building projects, doing, you know, challenges, stuff to just build your skills. Kind of like, you know, music. You got to start small. You got to take it slow. You have to do a lot of practice. So it's the same. It's like the same method, you know.
Cool. All right. So, hey, I just have one last question for you, Kevin.
All right.
Which is, you have the mic. Is there anything we missed or anything else you'd like to say?
I'm sure there's something. I'm trying to think. I guess I would say, like, don't pick a career because you think it's going to make you a lot of money. I didn't do that with software engineering. I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to become a software engineer because sometime way down the road I'm going to make a lot of money. Because, you know, that's not really even guaranteed. I would say, like, pick something that you're good at and that you could have an advantage of other people with it. That's really, and you know, something that you feel like you're gonna have fun doing. I know people probably hear that all the time. It's easier said than done, but it's really true. Like, there's no reason to work all day with something you hate.
Yeah, could I share a little anecdote about my abortive computer science career?
yeah, totally.
So I at one point, you know, did everything wrong, and was like, well, this is like well before I went into education. But let's say I was, you know, tired of making very, very little money doing low-level admin jobs. And these tests, like personality tests, kept telling me I should be a computer programmer. So I went back to school for 3 semesters to do computer chem programming. And then I left at the end of my 3rd semester when I discovered to my absolute horror that my classmates actually liked it.
That's great. Well, at least you found out early and not when you graduated.
Right. Like, I had sort of assumed that, you know, yeah, we all hate this, but we'll make good money, so we'll grit our teeth and bear it. And then I'd be like, hey, what'd you do this weekend? They'd be like, oh, they got a new operating system. So I came in and played around with it, and I'd be like, ha, 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 no, really, what'd you do?
And that's kind of like what I love about it is, you know, I have a lot of friends that are like that, and it's just like it almost feels like when I'm playing guitar or something, like you can always get better at it. There's always something to learn, and it's like an instrument in a way, as weird as that sounds. But I see a lot of my friends just working job. They did that thing where, yeah, exactly. They go to get a major. Okay, I'm going to make a lot of money, but then they're like, not that happy.
Yeah.
And it's just, why are you even doing that?
Yeah, well, it's terrific that you felt, of course, if you do find something that makes you happy, the fact that you're decently paid is definitely a plus.
Right.
So, well, hey, it's very, very inspiring where you found yourself after a relatively short amount of time here.
Awesome.
So, thanks. Great. Hey, I really enjoyed this conversation.
Me too.
Look for a message for me on LinkedIn in the near future. And yeah, best of luck with everything. Whatever your next goal is, hope it happens.
Okay. Thanks, Kevin.
Have a good night.
You too.